We are in the middle of Hilchos Shabbos, on the bottom of Blessed Word on Daf Yud Zayin, Amud Aleph, in the middle of Simur Rishon Beis, which is talking about the malachas that are permitted and forbidden to be done on Erev Shabbos, so that they finish on Shabbos. So in the middle of Sif Aleph, which the Mechaber continues into, it segues into something else. Umutra, as we continue to Amud Beis, to page 34, it's permitted limkul in Yehudi, to sell to a non-Jew, Ulatina and to load him up some chalecha, even if it's close to dark. Bavad, as long as she eats me pesach besim b'adyer, he leaves from the entryway of the Jew's house when it's still daytime. Hagar says there, Mabayesh Matim, some permit she eats in Yehudi b'Shabbos, that if the non-Jew could take it out on Shabbos, in Yichelo in Yehudi mokam b'adyer b'beis Yisrael, if he designated the non-Jew a space when it was still daytime in the Jew's house. But B'yesh L'Hachmer, says Ramo, one should be stringent, as the Mordechai in the first Pekah Shabbos. Finally, come on, Simashin Chav Hei. Says the Mishnah Berurah, Siv Katan Ches, that the Mechaber said that one could sell something to a non-Jew and load him up close to Shabbos. That'll be about Sheyitze V'chulu, as long as he leaves the Pesach Vesei when it's still daytime. But someone might say, as the ain't choice, L'Zeb, there's not enough time for that, Rosh Hashanah Yehudi Mas Neimai, or the non-Jew stipulates with the Meshikah when B'Shabbos had a shake from him, B'Shabbos, Af Mechira Osa, then even the selling is a prohibited transaction. Simkat and Tess. So he has to be able to leave from entry of his house when it's still daytime. Why? Kideish Le'inira, that it doesn't appear, She'Yisrael Tzivo Le'itzi L'chutz, that the Jew commanded him, because he's walking out on Shabbos, that it shouldn't look like the Jew commanded him to take it out of his home. Which the Shar Tzion Ois Ches says, this is what we learned in Simur Shmem Vav Siv Beis. Says Mishmur Fredli, says Vish Oitam. That is another reason for this. Actually, as Yisrael, they shouldn't suspect the Jew Shemachal B'Shabbos, that he's old man Shabbos, which is prohibited. Or he gave him the security on Shabbos. Now, Oitam is according to this. Also, Afil Beir Hamukavas Chema. According to that reasoning, so you don't have the first problem of that, like okay, carrying outside because it's Erev. But you would have a problem even in the city that's surrounded with a wall. I'm going to Erev, but with this Erev. Because it looks like you're doing business. And that's how the later authorities agree, which Shar Tzin Oyesud brings, however, from the Chayy Adam, it sounds like the Mokum Tzarech Gadol, one could permit to sell to him if there's an Erev and to rely on the first reason. But the Mishnah Berurah continues, he says, but the Achrayim agreed, in our situation regarding selling, regarding renting whatever object, therefore one should be stringent of Philip Mokab Beschayma, even if it's surrounded with a wall, and Yehudi Darsham, and the non-Jew lives over there in the Erev, still that he should take it out from the Jew's house when it's still daytime. Now, the Ramah had brought some permit to take out, the non-Jew could take it out on Shabbos, if he had designated a space for the non-Jew in the Jew's house when it was still daytime. So, Rasam, their logic is, it's like as if it's already in the house of the non-Jew, because that area is designated for him. But Ramosav Yeshlachman wants to be stringent. Why? Not to get the non-Jew accustomed to this, which is has problematic features. Look at the Achrim Shesimu that they agreed to Medina in Lahakabazet. From the Ikar Lacha, one should not be lean regarding this. The Kamelum, the Simitov Mem, because we hold in Simitov Mem Gam Chometz, also by the Halachas of Chometz, Lemhan Bichelamakam. It doesn't help to have the non-Jew's Chometz in your house by just designating the space in your house for the non-Jew. Come, the Raya Sabah also, because the one who sees will think that the Jew commanded him to take it out, which is, again, running into a maritime situation. Therefore, one should not be lean regarding this. Only if it's a situation of loss and a great need. Now, if the non-Jew is a difficult, strong-armed person, then one could permit even if he does not designate a place for him. In such a situation, the Chum did not make a decree. There was someone leased a room to the non-Jew for a pruta for the extent of the daily Shabbos. One does not have to be strange at all. I'm trying to look over there because it's really his room. They write, even renting out the room, one should not rely on this to be lean as if it's like, oh, his apartment, he's doing whatever he wants to. It's nothing to do with me. Siv Beis. One is permitted to give his garments to the non-Jewish launderer or various la'abdan, or to give his skins, his eye hides, to the abdan pirish, or uman, shema abdan, that's the professional that works. works out and tends and processes the skins into leather. You can give it right before it gets Shabbos, right before it gets dark. If you set him a price, it's isom, or he's doing them b'toivas as a ketunat afilu tches hana, as a the goodness of a return favor. But as long as he doesn't tell him to do it on Shabbos, and begam shasa in yudim alach beveza, also that the non-Jew will be doing this in his own premises. It says mishmur siv cut in yud beis permitted to be litim begad of chulu to give his garments to the non-Jewish launderer or to the skins to the tanner. Erev Shabbos. Now, but what's in the sharp malach? Assuming like his other malachas, but Tom, the reason is he came to katzabli dumb bad malach. But since he set a price for his work, they nimak but love, which is undertaken, and not particular for him to do it right away. So when the non-Jew does it on Shabbos, that didn't have shikavit, which is the primary principle we're looking for. The non-Jew is doing it for himself. Lamar lahash to malach, just to be quick to finish the job, because whenever you finish it, you give me the product, and I'll pay you for that. So therefore, you could give it sivkot and you'd give him sabach lechashecha close to Shabbos. It says Rambam, here also you need to have that it was taken out of the Jew's property when there's still daytime. Now this is permitted if they set a price. I know that is a well a known amount. Meaning not paying him per hour per day, which that would be problematic. Let's say he made up with him that he will give him a price, and they'll agree upon something. So even though he did not specify how much he's giving him, Tinika Katz has the same halacha like a set price. He's just whatever it there is. It's just they didn't come to the amount. Now in today's times, Kalim Lekaybis, when you're giving your vessels, your garments to the launderer, stomach Tinika Katz, we presume that it generally has halacha like Katzatz, because the Ketzvasa you do it, it has a set price. Therefore, the widespread custom is to give it every Shabbos right before it gets dark, even though you don't know the amount by the cleaners. There is a set price, which Shartin Yisrael says, look at the Halacha, where in the Maskil Im, he discusses this at length. Sivkon Tezvav, or another option is if the non-Jew is doing B'tobis and not, what does that mean? Actually, the non-Jew is agreeable to do it for free. Why is he doing this? We're presuming it's like a payment. It's like remuneration, because it must be some favor that the Jew had done for him in the beginning. Therefore, he's really doing it for himself as payment, not really doing it for the Jew, he's doing it as payment for that favor. But as long as the Jew does not tell him, do it on Shabbos. So too, he tells to the launderer, the laundromat, to the cleaners, hey, look, I need Saturday night, right? Let's say he wants to travel right away after Shabbos. That's also been, even if he set a price. Because it's impossible to finish the job unless they're going to work on Saturday. Like he's explicitly telling them to do the laundry on Shabbos. Then he's like his agent. See, that's forbidden. And therefore, the Shara Tzinois design says, therefore, that would be forbidden even if it was many days before, if it's inherent that they have to do the work on Shabbos, Sukkot, Yud Zayin. And also has to be that the non-Jew's work is bevaser. It's somewhat, it says, Shalom Beves Yisrael. It can't be the Jew's premises. Thus, Mechzi, because then it looks like Kilo Oysa B'Shluchas Yisrael, as if he's doing it for the agency of the Jew. Because of Chayod M'Chayim writes, Beves Yisrael also in the Jewish property, it's forbidden. Even if it's something that the custom old in that town is to do a job with Kablan. This means you get paid for the job, not per hour, not per day. And they're not even going to suspect him for paying per day. That's still going to be forbidden for that reason. They're going to say, but he told him to do the job on Shabbos, which again is Issa Mir L'Akam, and therefore you can have that Marasai, and therefore that is forbidden. Bir Halacha, the Bimaschel, Limkalein Yehudi Ulatinoi, if you let a sultan non-Jew to load him up close to Chashecha, which means to load him up on his donkey, even if he sold it to him beforehand, but it's got to be done before Shabbos. And the same thing is to lift up the load on his shoulder or to give him a gift or a loan. This all has to be done koidim chashecha. Sivkan, the divin maskim about yoim. He has to leave the house of the Jew when it's still daytime. Now, if the non-Jew leaves the object by him. And it comes nighttime to take it. It seems that one could be lenient in a pressing situation to give it to him, even if he's not an alum, a rough guy. Because since this is only because of marasayin, one does not have to be stringent regarding this, because only a chashad, a suspicion of an isid rabbanon, where people don't see, as he wrote at the end of Siman Shin Aleph, and therefore, if the non-Jew just left something over there, in that type of situation, he'd be allowed to take it. The maskalit begadav that in Siv Beis, he said, you're allowed to give your clothing to the laundromat, the cleaners, on Erev Shabbos. So he says, look at Mishnah Berurah, Siv Katan Yud Beis, that the same thing is all malachas. And he says, look at the Beis Yisrael, it comes out that there's no difference whether if the non-Jew is doing the Gemara Malacha in the Kli, or whether if the non-Jew is making the whole Kli on Shabbos. For example, let's say the Jew gave him wood and he made a Kli, or a spindle and he's making a garment. And also, there's no difference whether if the wood and the spindle is from the Jew, or that he asked him to make everything from his own. It doesn't make a difference. There's no problem that we're running into over here. Now, in Devar Maskal Im, which was the B'alacha that the Mishnah Berurah had referenced, it says, look at Mishnah Berurah Sivkot and Yudal, what we wrote, that today's times, when you're giving your clothing to the laundromat or the cleaners, and, you know, it's assumed that it's katsas, and therefore it's permitted. That's on Mugen Bram and the Eli Rabbi writes. But Mugen Bram is saysim his words very much. It doesn't explain if he means to say that didn't stipulate at all, like the opinion of the Great Mordechai, because they don't do it for free, if that's the case. So why is he stipulating on this Bezman Hazeh? Why does he do it today's times? And also, why is the end? What do you think, every single time he has to make up with him a price? If you explain that the first time he made up with him, and he's saying that's enough with that, like the way the Tosfos Shabbos explains, he still didn't explain what he's stipulating that regarding specifically Bezman Hazeh in today's times. What does that have to do with today's times? So therefore it seems that what he means to say is like this. He guaranteed him, he promised him that he's going to pay him, but he didn't say how much he's going to give. And this said, the Nishmas Adam asked that the halacha in Sim Rish Mem Zayin is that you don't need to have explicit ketzitza. It seems to me that where do we find that we permit in Rish Mem Zayin is when he didn't say how much he's giving him. It's only when he guarantees him he's going to give him the appropriate wages, or he's going to make good with him. And that's what the Shachanach writes over there in Sev Beis Sheet Lishchachai, that means Karolai, that's what sounds like Chai Adam. And therefore, the non-Jew is confident, And he thinks that, you know, he's going to get paid appropriately, and therefore has a halacha like katzatz. But if the Jew says stam, that he's going to give him schar, he's going to pay him. So then it's not like katzatz, because the non-Jew doesn't know how much he's going to give him. I mean, he's going to give him very little. So therefore, the Magen Avraham says in today's times, man azeh, that you're giving your stuff to the cleaners, the price is known, and the non-Jew doesn't think he's going to get like just a token amount, and therefore even if he tells him stam that he's going to pay him, it's also going to be enough, and therefore it's like considered. Like when you set the price one time, where for sure, then most definitely, you could always rely on this. That's what he ends off. Atul Chal Pami, think every single time, etc. Now this that he writes, look at Beis Yisrael, my grace Mordechai. What he means to say is that he's lean even more than this. And maybe the intent of the Magen Avraham regarding laundry is that since everyone knows its set amount, even if he did not stipulate with him at all, it's going to be sufficient where he realizes he's going to give him according to the set amount, which is not the case by, let's say, giving him your hides to the tanner. Where it does not have a set amount, and so therefore, even if he doesn't do it for free, still the non-Jew is not confident, and he thinks, well, maybe he'll give me a small amount. Not like the words Zagoyz Mordechai that's makel even by Eris Labdin. And so it says the Beir Lacha Tzarchin LaMaisa. It says you should know that even that Chai Adam quotes Ladina the opinion of Zagoyz Mordechai that anything that's well known that you always give the wages on this work has a look like katzatz. So it's very difficult to rely on this LaMaisa in practice because. All the Rishonim, quotes Rambam, Tesis, Rash, Ran, Rashba, Magen Mishnah, Zerum, Iri, they all write explicitly by all Malachas that even by Eris La'abdin and Kehil Mekaibis, for sure that it doesn't do it for free, and even so, you need katzatz. So obviously, the reason is like we wrote before, that's because the non-Jew doesn't know how much he's going to give him, and he's going to give him a little bit amount, and therefore, he's not confident to go ahead and do it because of he's getting paid, and he's doing it really for the Jew then, and therefore he looks like his agent, and therefore Magen Avraham is not Mekel, only became Lukaibis, which in his time there was a set amount. Debemaskel, Behush Loyem Behulu, as long as he doesn't tell him to do it on Shabbos, which, as the Be'er Halacha points out, that this is us even if he gave it to him many days beforehand, as the Mishnah Berurah wrote in Siman Reish Mem Zayin. Some of the deer shoes. Dish number 5, dish number 6. So he said that or the non-Jew stipulates with him that he's going to take from him on Shabbos, then even Mechir becomes Asr. Now, to leave an automated machine that's designated for selling beverages in a city that majority are non-Jews, snack machine. Shuvas Minchas Yitzchak writes that's permitted. It's just that you have to have in mind that you're not going to be zeich in the money until Matzah Shabbos. And so to stipulate before Shabbos, there's having in mind to be makna to already transfer the refreshment from before Shabbos to whoever's going to buy it on Shabbos, because this Issa Mekramemka is only rabbinic, and by Issa the Rabban, you could do braver to say, well, that was the one that I was makna to. Issue number 8, which Bruce said, Bizman Azeh, Kemle Kaivitz, to the Kaivitz Stama Dinika Katzatz, because it's a set amount. So to in our times, if sometimes I'm ruled that since it's made that a person pays the worker according to what he asks, that's as if it's already katzatz, and therefore that would also go fall under the heter that we're discussing. Dirshu number 9. So if you said you need a Saturday night, like as if you told me explicitly to do the laundry on Shabbos, it's like his shliach. So to make up with a non-Jew that he should print an ad in the paper, which is printed on Friday night, and it comes out on Saturday, Shubas Chalkas Yaakov writes, that's forbidden, because since this Jew's explicitly stipulating that this paper, which comes out on Saturday, he knows the printing's on Friday night, it's like as if he's telling me explicitly that he wants him to print this ad on Shabbos. Now, to sign on a check or on a some type of bank transaction by a bank owned by non-Jews, which works on Shabbos, that the transaction should take effect on Saturday, Chubas Cheshav Eifed writes that Lachayr would seem that it's usher to do this because he's designating a time for the bank workers to do Malach on Shabbos. However, on the other hand, there is room to say that since the bank officers are not really particular to transfer the sum of money on that day itself, so they're permitted to do that. And therefore, he writes that it's good to notify the bank manager that is not particular for this transaction specifically. In that situation, even if they will credit him on Shabbos, well, they're doing it for themselves. To give over a car to a corporation of Nachrim, Shmuel Zalatzin writes it's permitted, meaning to give it to the car mechanic. So the Erlitzin says that even if he knows he's going to fix it on Shabbos, as long as you don't tell him that he wants it to have it Saturday night or on Sunday or Monday where you know it's not possible to fix it that small time unless he works on Shabbos, as long as you don't tell him that. So if he decides to work on your car on Shabbos, that's fine. And if it's ready after that, fine. He did it for himself. You could pick it up then as soon as it's ready. There was one more Sharet Zion, Is Yud Zayin, on the last Mishnah Berurah Sipkot Yud Zayin, that Chabad said it has to be that the Malach is being done in the non-Jew's own house, not by the Jew. So the Chayodim wrote that the Jew's house is forbidden, even if something that the customers do by Kablanas and not going to suspect him, it's still us, because they're going to say he told him to do it on Shabbos. So Sharet Zion, Is Yud Zayin says, he says, I saw in certain places that they hire non-Jews, bekablanos, which contractual agreements, to go ahead and to shake out their linen in the flax in their courtyards. They shake it out even on Shabbos, and it says that what they're doing is not correct. Because even if the minig of the whole city is bekablanos, but it's always forbidden in the property of a Jew. And therefore, it would seem to be makin to them the pishnan erev Shabbos that it should be theirs totally. On that, the Dirshu 10 brings, however, regarding non-Jew that chisels stones of his own, the purpose of a Jew near the Jew's property, it's not appropriate to do this because there's a concern of Maris Ayin, because maybe they're going to say that he's his hired laborer. Now, regarding a maidservant that does her own malachas in the property of the Jew, so Mishra writes over there in Sifkot Lamed that some say it's forbidden to do this because they shouldn't say that she's doing the malacha of a Jew. Now, if it's recognizable, the malacha is for herself, and they write with the name of Chayim that's permitted. So regarding a non-Jew that brings his grain into a storehouse of a Jew, the Gemara writes later on Simshon Zayin that's permitted because the Nachri is Isik b'malachas atzmai. So that's what he's saying over here in the Sharet Zin. Like, okay, if you're marketing to them, then maybe you can be makel.